Our scripture reading this evening comes from Paul's second letter to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit the last several weeks, looking at Him and who He is and how we know where He is and those sorts of things. And tonight, as we go into the new year, we're going to be looking at making the most out of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We're going to be reading from 2 Timothy 1, the first seven verses. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Let's pray. Lord God, we know that you have given to us your Spirit. We know that because you've promised to give your Spirit to all who call in your name in faith. Father, we ask that you would give us your Spirit in a special way now as we seek to understand more of who your Spirit is and what your Spirit wants to do in us. So bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I was in college, everyone was supposed to declare a major when they came. They were supposed to declare a major so that they could weight their studies to a particular area so that they could concentrate their time on what it was that they really wanted to do once they got out of college. They were supposed to declare a major. But there were a lot of people just entering college who really didn't know what they wanted to do when they got out of college. And so they didn't have a major. They were known as people who had an undeclared major, or they were undecided as to what their major was. And there were a lot of those people. A lot of people who weren't sure what they wanted to weight their studies in. They weren't sure what it was that they wanted to do with their lives. And I've noticed that after I've gotten out of college, there are still a lot of people that have an undisclosed or undeclared or undecided major. There are still a lot of people in the world who haven't decided yet exactly what it is that they want to do with their lives. It isn't that they haven't found anything to do. They're doing things. But if you'd asked them if they felt completely fulfilled, if they felt as though they were doing exactly what it was that they were created to do, a lot of people would say no. They'd say, I'm still looking for that thing. I'm still looking for what it is that I was created to do. I'm still looking for that thing that's going to complete me. I'm still undecided as far as my major is concerned. And given the number of people for which that is true, I'd have to say that right behind losing weight, finding a purpose for your life would have to be one of the most popular New Year's resolutions that there is. If just deciding that would make it come true, you know? I mean, you can decide that you want to lose weight and you can do certain things to make that happen, but if you decide you want to find purpose in your life, it's not so easy. It's not as though you just go out and find the right plan for you and then after a few weeks or months, suddenly you have purpose in your life. It's not that easy. It's almost as though purpose has to find you. And so while we might want to make that a New Year's resolution, that we'd like to find a real purpose for our life, that a year from tonight, as we're all gathered together to go into 2003, that we will be able to say, wow, this past year has been a year that I've really just found what God wants me to do. But that's a lot easier said than done. It isn't so simple to go out and find purpose for your life. We all have a sense that all things have a purpose. And that causes us to search for our purpose. I've talked to several young people who struggle with that, with trying to decide what it is they should do. How do you go about determining what you should do? How do you know how you're going to be able to find purpose for your life, or where you're going to find purpose for your life? Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, as I've said. And tonight we're going to talk about what His purpose is. Why? Why has He been given to us? What's His purpose? What does He live for? What makes His role in us complete? How does He know when His purpose in us is really being done? Well, to begin with, the reason that God gave us the Spirit wasn't just so that once we die and we're waiting to get into heaven. Forgive my poor theology here for a second, but the Spirit hasn't just been given to us so that as we're waiting to get into heaven, somebody can open us up and look inside and see if He's there and say, okay, you can come in. The Spirit hasn't just been given to us as kind of a heavenly passport, that it's in us and we know it's there and we just carry Him around with us through our life just so that once we die, God will know He's there and we've been forgiven and we can go into heaven. That's not what He's been given to us for. He's been given to us for a purpose, to work a purpose in us. He's been given to us so that a purpose might be done in us, so that our lives might have a purpose. See, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is so that we can have a purpose. So these two things go together. Looking for purpose in life is tied to the purpose of the Spirit in our life. His purpose in us is to give us purpose in two ways. First of all, as He works in us, we become a new creation. We become something different than what we were. We become more and more what we will be in heaven. So one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to bring about a new creation in us so that we begin to live the eternal life already now. So we begin to exhibit the qualities that we will exhibit in total then. That begins now. So we begin to experience and enjoy the eternal life that we will have right now, today. So first of all, His purpose in us is to bring that new life into being, to develop in us all of the qualities that are going to be part of us forever. That's one way in which His purpose in us is to develop purpose in our lives, to become more like Christ. That's one of His purposes in our lives. But He works in a second way, which is more pertinent to our passage tonight, and more pertinent perhaps to our looking forward to a new year now. And that is that the Spirit's purpose in our life is to uncover God's specific purpose for our life. Not just the general purpose that we become more like Him, so that we begin to exhibit the qualities of Christ, but so that the Spirit, by working in us, can uncover the reason, the specific reason, that God created each one of us. So that as He works in us, suddenly, our reason for existing comes out. So the Spirit's purpose in us is to give our lives purpose. First of all, a purpose in moving toward the eternal heavenly life, but secondly, to evoke and uncover the specific purpose for which God created each one of us. And that's what Paul is talking to Timothy about here. So when we talk about finding purpose in life, when we talk about looking for that thing that is going to really fulfill us, that's going to complete us, that thing that we can be doing, or things that we can be doing that are going to really make us feel as though we're where we're supposed to be, we can't ask that question, we can't look for those things without looking for how the Spirit is working in our life. Those two things are tied together. And we won't find the purpose. We won't find purpose. We won't find real purpose in life until we find and aid the purpose of the Spirit in our life. I don't read the paper very much. I don't know why. I don't have the time or don't make the time. I don't read the obituaries. I know some people turn to the obituaries and read them every day. But I always pay attention to obituaries on television for some reason. I guess because the kinds of people whose deaths they announce on television get my attention. Just this past week, I saw Foster Brooks. I don't know how many of you even recognize the name. You'd recognize me if you saw him. Foster Brooks passed away this week. And the person that was announcing his death said, he's most well known for playing the role of a drunk. You know, real funny, and he slurs his words and stuff, and that's what he's most known for. And I can't help, when I'm watching one of those obituaries or one of those announcements of someone's death on television, to ask myself, what's the purpose of that? When it's all done for that person, the most they can say is, he's most well known for playing the role of a drunk. That was the great purpose in his life. Now, he may have had other purposes. He may have done lots of other things. I don't know. But when they describe what he's known for, that's what they mention. They do that with all actors. He's most well known for playing the role of so-and-so and such-and-such. And I ask myself, what's the purpose? What does it amount to? I hope you have, asked yourself, many times, when my life is over, what will people say the purpose was? What was the purpose? Why did he eat and breathe and walk and speak? Why? What's the purpose? That's the question that we're answering. And that's why when we ask ourselves and we seek purpose in our life, we can't look for purpose without looking for the purpose of the Spirit in our life. We can't. Because if we do, when we get done, none of it will amount to a hill of beans. It won't amount to anything. So then the only way we find purpose in our lives is by taking full advantage of the purpose of the Spirit in our lives. And that is what Paul is encouraging Timothy to do here. Paul is encouraging Timothy to make use of the Spirit that he's been given so that the Spirit can have the effect on him and through him that the Spirit wants to have. Paul is encouraging Timothy to allow the Spirit to give purpose to his life and to reveal the purpose that there is in his life that God has placed there. And essentially, the way Paul describes it for Timothy, and then for us as well, is that God the Father has started a fire in Timothy. There's a fire burning in him. And Timothy's responsibility is to fan it into flame, to make it bigger, to take what God's given him and to fan it so that the fire will increase and get stronger. So the picture that Paul paints for us achieving purpose in our lives is the purpose that God has for our lives. It's that if you want to get an idea of what Paul's saying, if you want to get a picture in your mind, and that might be the most helpful, is to think of a fire and you're the logs. Okay? You're the logs. And God's purpose in you, The Spirit's purpose in you, is that you be consumed. Not that you burn the candle on both ends. That's something different. But that you be consumed by that which God has placed in you, by the fire that He started in you. See, He's given each of us gifts. Gifts that are designed to bless those around us. That's why he made us a body and the pieces all fit together. He's given each one of us gifts. Therefore, he's given each one of us a purpose. But those gifts are locked down inside of us. So if you think of it as though you're the logs, okay, and the people closest to you are standing around the fire pit, and the purpose that God has for you is that you be consumed so that as you are consumed, those around you benefit from you. Just hold that picture in your mind as we go through. And now that God has started a fire, we're supposed to fan it. That fire that God has started is our faith. And now that he started the fire of our faith, his will for us is that we fan it into flame, that we make it bigger and bigger and bigger, so that we can be totally consumed by it. So that his purpose might be fulfilled, so that you might be consumed for him. For some reason, I've always had a hard time stoking a fire and getting it stronger. When I was growing up, we had one of those old-style wood-burning stoves, you know, with the pedestal legs I don't know what they're called, and the chrome and everything. And we, for a while, we heated or tried to heat part of the house with that to save money. And whenever I was given the responsibility of keeping the fire going, for some reason, it wasn't very long before it was smoldering and in danger of going out completely. I don't know. I just didn't have very good luck keeping the fire going. And that frustrated my father quite a bit, because after he had started the fire for the purpose of warming the house and warming the whole family and given me the task of stoking it and making it into something useful, I hadn't done that. And he would come back later on and the room wasn't warm and he'd look in there and the fire was almost out and he'd have to start all over again. I'm not very good at keeping fires going. I'm not very good, or haven't been very good, at building them into something. And keeping the fire of my faith going hasn't been any easier for me. Or building the fire of my faith into something larger hasn't been very easy for me. Keeping a fire going isn't as easy as it looks. I mean, some people make it look easy, but it's really not that easy. It can be really difficult, especially when the materials that you have to work with aren't very good. See, if you want to build a fire, one of the things that you need to have is good wood, right? I mean, you don't burn this year's wood, right? You burn last year's wood or the year before that, because green wood's hard to burn. Wood that still has a lot of life in it, a lot of its old life in it. Wood that's still moist and wet, that wood doesn't burn very well. So the best wood to use is dry wood, wood that's old, wood that doesn't have any of its former life in it anymore. Wood like that almost starts itself on fire. I can even keep a fire like that going. But when you're working on wood that's green, on wood that's got some moisture in it, it's not so easy to keep going. It becomes a full-time job to tend a fire like that to make sure that it grows into something useful and doesn't just go out. I don't know about you, but if I had to classify myself as a kind of wood, I wouldn't classify myself as the kind that burns very easily. I'm not the kind of person in whom the fire that God has started just burns out of control just all by itself. I'm green as can be. And I've got so much moisture, so much of the former life still in me that fights against the fire that it takes. It's a full-time job to keep the fire going so that those around me can be benefited by it. And I expect it's probably somewhat difficult for you too. But the job isn't impossible. The job that Paul is encouraging Timothy to do isn't impossible. You know, every year there are lots of forest fires that burn almost out of control. And most of the wood that's burning in those is green wood. It's wood that's alive. It's possible to burn green wood. But if you're going to burn green wood, you have to have the right conditions. In other words, if you want green wood to burn, if you don't have the best wood for a fire. Everything else has to be ideal, right? And that means two things. First of all, the atmosphere has to be ideal. If you're trying to burn green wood, you don't want to do it in an area where there's lots of moisture. So you wouldn't try to burn green wood out where it's raining, right? That'd be impossible. If you want green wood to burn, if you're the kind of person that doesn't burn very easily, then you certainly don't want to be in places, in atmospheres that are very moist, because then you're not going to burn very well at all. You have to be in an atmosphere conducive to burning if you want green wood to burn. Jesus says in Matthew 6, 22 and 23, he says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Jesus says that the eyes are the lamp of the body, not the lamp that looks out, but the lamp that shines in. He says that if your eyes are the lamp of your body, and if you're taking in darkness through your eyes, then how are you going to have any light inside you? By the same token, if God's will for you is that you be consumed for Him, that the fire of your faith would consume you so that those around you can be benefited, it doesn't make much sense for you to always be in an atmosphere where everything's wet, to be where things don't burn very well, to be taking in things, to be soaking up things that'll make it harder and harder for you to burn. So if you're looking for purpose in life, if you're looking for what you were created for, if that's really what you want, then you can't always be putting yourself places that cause you to soak up more and more of what makes it hard for you to be consumed for God. You can't do that. If you want to burn, if you want yourself to be consumed for God, if you want the fire of your faith to take hold, you're going to have to make sure that you keep the conditions ideal. The atmosphere in which you stay has to be ideal. It has to be dry enough so that even your wet green wood can burn. That's why they have forest fires, because it's so dry. The conditions are so dry. And they pray for rain. But the second thing that you're going to need in order to keep a fire going in that green wood, and this is connected to the first thing, is plenty of oxygen. Oxygen feeds a fire. You need air to feed a fire, and that's why Paul tells Timothy to fan it into flame. You need air. A lot of times when I was having trouble with that fire in that wood stove, and it just about died, and there were no flames in there, if I opened the door and I blew real hard, all of a sudden, poof, the flame would start again. If we want our wood to burn, if we want ourselves to be consumed, the fire of our faith to consume us, then we have to keep ourselves out of the areas where there's so much moisture, where we're going to soak that up, so it's going to be even harder for ourselves to be consumed by our faith. To make sure that there's plenty of oxygen. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. The Hebrew word for spirit is ruach. It means wind or breath. And that's the role that he plays in this fire. The Spirit is the fuel that we need to turn the flame of our faith into a roaring fire. We have to fan the flame that God started in order to unlock the purpose for our life. The word that Paul used in verse 6, he says, "I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands." When he says gift of God, that word gift is the word charisma, which is the word used to describe spiritual gifts. So Paul's not telling Timothy, "I want you to fan into flame the spirit that's in you," or to unlock the spirit, to fan into flame that gift, but to fan into flame the gift, the charisma, the spiritual gift that God gave you. So that spiritual gift, you see, is locked somewhere inside of us.
And if that gift is going to be uncovered, if it's going to be exposed, if it's going to be used up for those around us, the flame that God has started in us has to be fanned so that that faith consumes us, and as it consumes us, it uses us for the benefit of those around us. We have to fan it into flame. One of the problems that I always had with that old wood stove was, and that I discovered later, was that the dampers that were designed for it weren't big enough. They wouldn't let enough air through. And so I finally figured out that what I had to do was open the side door a little bit, and then all of a sudden, it would suck that air in and take off. Well, in our lives, the dampers that we've designed in our lives for the Spirit to come through so that the fire of our faith can be grown, a lot of times they're not big enough. Just going to church once or twice a week isn't going to produce enough oxygen. It's not going to produce enough. It may keep the fire going, but it's not going to fan it into flame. It's not going to grow the fire. And if it doesn't grow the fire, if you don't become consumed by the faith that God has put in you, then your purpose is never going to be revealed. And you'll go through life wondering, why is it that God created me? Why is it that I'm here? To find that purpose, you have to fan that fire into flame. It has to become greater, so that it can uncover all the things in you that are put there to warm those around us. And so what that means is that we have to install new dampers. We have to install dampers in our lives to let more oxygen in. We have to design things in our lives to let more of the Spirit in. If we want to have a fire that's raging, let me back up. If we want to have a real purpose, so that when our life is done, people say, what was the purpose of that? And, oh, let me tell you what the purpose of that was. If we want that, if we want the knowledge that we are being used by God the way He created us to be used, then we need to have a roaring fire so that everything in us that was put there gets used. But to do that, we got to have a lot of oxygen. We've got to have big holes in our lives where the Spirit comes rushing through. And once or twice on Sunday isn't going to be enough. It means every day of the week. It means meditating on the Word of the Spirit. It means praying through the Spirit. It means taking advantage of every possible opportunity and creating opportunities in your life for the Spirit to come rushing in. That's the only time that the fire is going to grow. A fire can only grow as much as the amount of air that it has to burn. So if we want purpose, we have to be consumed. If we want to be consumed, we have to have more oxygen. If we want to have more oxygen, we have to have big dampers in our life to let them through. And that means changing our lives. It means asking ourselves how each thing we do in our lives contributes to being consumed by our faith. An average evening that we spend, what would you say it does by the things that we do? Okay, let's say you're sitting watching television. Are you soaking up things that are going to make it harder for you to burn, or are you creating an atmosphere where you're fanning the fire into flame? And just go through each night of the week, your Monday, your Tuesday, your Wednesday, your Thursday. Classify each thing that you do. Does this thing fan the Spirit into flame, or does it cause me to soak up more things that make it harder for me to burn in the first place? If you want a purpose, you need to be consumed. If you want to be consumed, you need more oxygen. If you need more oxygen and you want more oxygen, you got to change your life. But once the fuel of the Spirit begins to feed that fire, it won't be long before the purpose that we've been searching for is ours. And all those around us are going to know it. They're going to know it for both of the reasons, both of the purposes of the Spirit. They're going to know it because we begin to exhibit all those qualities that we're supposed to be beginning to exhibit, those qualities that we're going to have in the eternal life. They're going to see that. And that's going to warm them. Our problem in life is that we think that other people have been designed and created for us, when the reality is that we've been designed and created for them. And unless we allow ourselves to be consumed, they aren't going to be benefited. They won't be benefited by our exhibiting those qualities that we're supposed to exhibit. Picture in your head the faces of those closest to you. They're the reason that God wants to work through you, so that their lives can be different. And it won't be long before that specific reason or reasons for God creating you will be uncovered. Because as the Spirit is feeding the fire in your life and it's burning very warmly, you will begin to see places and you will be able to put two and two together in your mind and say, ah, I can do that. It won't be long when the Spirit takes control that you'll find purpose. Now, it's a scary thing to think about actually doing this, and we talk about a lot of things and don't actually do them. To actually take Paul at his word and to change your life, it's scary. We wonder if it'll be successful, first of all. But we know that Paul tells us that it will, because the spirit we've been given is not a spirit of timidity. In other words, like a spirit of a chicken, you know? The spirit that we've been given is not a spirit that runs and hides, but a spirit of power. He can do it. He will do it. Open up the dampers in your life. We wonder if we'll actually like the purpose that God has for us. But Paul tells us not to worry about that, because it's a spirit of love. We wonder if all of those things that have been part of our life will be able to subdue. Paul says it's a power of self-control. Is a spirit of self-control. The new year stands before us and waits to be filled. As the Lord gives us each new day, it stands there to be filled. Let's fill it with the fire of our faith. Let's declare a major tonight. To major in increasing our faith, in fanning it into flame, so that we can devote the vast majority of our time and our studies to that. When we do, we're going to find real purpose. Your life is going to have more purpose than you'll know what to do with. And all those around us, those who are the closest to us, will be the most blessed. That's why He created you. That's why He put you where you are. Right now. Let's pray. Lord God, we ask that by the power of Your Spirit that we would fan that faith into a greater flame. Father, as we go from this place, we ask that You would give us the courage to change our lives, to install places where Your Spirit can come in. Father, give us purpose. Give us a greater purpose, so that Your name may be praised. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.